Welcome to Treasures of Truth, a daily broadcast Monday through Friday where we encourage you to listen in wherever you're at and hear the Word of God and the truth preached. Treasures of Truth is a ministry of Treasure Valley Baptist Church in Meridian, Idaho, and this week we're airing a message entitled The Casting Down of Satan. If you would like to hear this message again or any other message from Treasure Valley Baptist Church, please stay tuned until the end of today's program for more information. And now your host, Pastor Rick DeMichael.
You know, and you read in the Word of God, you get to the book of Job, you realize even to this day, Satan has access right up to the threshold of heaven because he confronts and challenges God. But someday, he's going to be cast out of that position. And then later, he's going to be bound in the bottomless pit, as we already looked at. This is a seven-headed dragon. The devil has come down to you having great wrath. This python, this dragon, has seven satanic heads. Heads full of plentitude and duplicity and iniquity and wickedness. And as though the seven heads of satanic ingenuity for sin were not enough, each head has a diadem, power, authority, and display. He loves it. Whenever you see the world out there and its ostentatiousness, that's a reflection of the spirit of Satan. He loves the display of his seven diadems, his ten horns, his ableness, his might, his authority. And that's part of the mystery of God. The permissive will of God that allows Satan to rule over God's destroyed universe for a short time. Jesus said he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, he encompasses the fall of the human race. He presides over the murder of righteous Abel. In the book of Job, in the permissive will of God, he moved that the Lord allow Job to be bereft of his children and to fall into misery and despair. That's Satan. In the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, he sought to destroy the Son of God himself through three terrible temptations. In the book of Matthew, the Lord speaks of sowing the word. And what happens? A man hears the word of God. He's moved to believe in Christ. And then the wicked one takes the word out of his heart and thrusts him back into the mesh and the mechanics of this life again, only to forget those things that he heard and to lose those seeds that were sown. In the book of Luke, we're told about a woman who was bowed down 18 years by Satan. In the book of Acts, it is said he was anointed, Christ was anointed, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Every time tears fall, every time hearts are broken, every time lives are smashed, every time visions are destroyed, that's Satan. That's the work of Satan. Satan put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. Satan put it into the heart of Ananias and Sapphira to lie to the Holy Ghost. Peter says that the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. That's this Satan. And one of these days, he's going down. He's going down. We see it in the spirit of our age. We see the fear. We see the bunker mentality. But we also see individuals. Self-flagellation, self-condemnation, self-loathing. Self-righteously condemning and accusing. And the world joining in and teaming up with the flesh in an attempt to do one thing, make the life of the believer miserable. You see, folks, when you got saved, the devil can't have you anymore. He can't think in terms of taking you to hell. But what he wants to do is ruin your testimony. And if he can't tempt you into sin and wickedness, he'll try to condemn and accuse you into self-loathing. I've got a message I preach once in a while. Some of you may remember it. It's called, Have You Forgiven Yourself? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever got down on your knees and confessed your sins to the Lord and claimed 1 John 1:9 and got up and heard a little voice that said, you're not forgiven? Who are you kidding? I believe sometimes that might be conscience gone awry. That might be ourselves. But more often than not, I believe it's one of those fiery darts. Ephesians chapter 6. Because the devil wants to keep you down. You've got to claim the promises of the Word of God. In the 1500s, Martin Luther exclaimed that the spiritual warfare was sometimes so extreme in his life that he would quote scripture to the devil. He'd say, hey, Satan, haven't you ever heard this one? One time the devil was condemning him about his sins, and he said, okay, Saint Satan, I guess you don't have any sins, do you? You see, that's a little extreme, but the bottom line, folks, is the devil works in that realm. He works, you know, a lot of times people think what the devil's going to tempt you to do something, it'll be to drink or to smoke marijuana or do something like that. Folks, the flesh can handle that. He works as much or more in the realm of conscience, in the realm of guilt, in the realm of denying the promises of God, in the realm of accusing man to God and God to man and man to man and man to himself. Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. He's called the God of this world. He is a usurper judge, and court is always in session. He accused God to man in Genesis chapter 3. He accused man to God in Job chapters 1, 2, and 3. And he'll accuse man to man. He'll accuse believer to believer. You've been just going along and all of a sudden thought pops into your head, Brother so-and-so doesn't like you. You haven't talked to Brother so-and-so in a month. Last time you talked to Brother so-and-so, everything was fine. Now all of a sudden Brother so-and-so doesn't like you. So the next time you're in church, from way across the auditorium, you see Brother so-and-so, and he turned his head and looked right past you, and now you're sure he's ignoring you. Or he might have had a grimace on his face, but you didn't take into consideration his right shoe is not fitting very well today, and it hurts. He'll accuse man to man. He'll accuse brother to brother. He'll accuse you to yourself. He loves the realm of self-righteousness. He loves that realm. H.A. Ironside, Harry Ironside, wrote a book that's long out of print, but I was able to get my hands on it. It's called, the name of the book is called Holiness, the False and the True. You say, preacher, is there a false holiness? Yeah. And the devil likes to use it. Ironside got involved in a movement shortly after he was saved. He eventually recovered from it. But whereby they believed that their old nature was eradicated and they became sinlessly perfect. And in one of the chapters, he talks about all of the havoc that wreaked in his life. And in particular paragraph, he says, before I had always held up Christ and pointed the lost to him. Now, almost imperceptibly, my own experience became my theme, and I held up myself as a striking example of consecration and holiness. He said this was a prevailing characteristic of the brief addresses made by most of the quote-unquote advanced Christians in our company. The youngest in grace magnified Christ. The sanctified, quote-unquote, magnified themselves. A favorite song will make this more manifest than any words of mine. It is still widely used in some of the meetings and finds a place in their song or hymn books. I give only one verse as a specimen. Quote, some people I know don't live holy. They battle with unconquered sin, not daring to consecrate fully, or they full salvation would win. With malice they have constant trouble. From doubting they long to be free. With most things about them they grumble. Praise God, this is not so with me. I would say if I found that in our hymnal, we would take it out.
We want to thank you for joining us today for Treasures of Truth, and it is our hope and prayer that today's program was truly a blessing to you. You've been listening to a message entitled The Casting Down of Satan by Pastor Rick DeMichael. If you are listening here today and you are not saved or unsure about your salvation, and you want to be with Christ up in heaven one day and experience the magnificence of God Himself, then we encourage you to contact the office of Treasure Valley Baptist Church at 208-888-4545. That's 208-888-4545. As mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, if you would like to hear this or any other message from Treasure Valley Baptist Church, please feel free to visit our website at tvbc.org for more information. We also invite you to join our live streams on Facebook and YouTube for weekly encouraging messages. And if you just so happen to be in the area, we have a bookstore that is open to the public on Tuesdays from 10:30 to 4:30 and Wednesdays from 8:30 to 4:30. Treasures of Truth is a ministry of Treasure Valley Baptist Church in Meridian, Idaho, and we would love for you to come join us for our weekly services. They begin with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by the morning service at 10:45, a Sunday evening service at 5:45 p.m., and our midweek service on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Our services have nurses available for young children, as well as interactive and exciting programs for all ages, including junior high, high school, and even college age groups. Thank you for listening to Treasures of Truth, a ministry of Treasure Valley Baptist Church in Meridian, Idaho, and may God bless you in the coming weeks and days ahead.